you know, when I did my walk across the USA in 2010, I mean, this was primarily a mental health journey for me, and I needed to recalibrate. You know, I needed to start over for a lot of reasons, and moving more the way I was made to through towns and communities, rural, urban, suburban, staying with local people, talking to local people, stumbling upon so many conversations with people who are working in the ranch or the farm, or people who are hanging out outside of a cafe in a small downtown Main Street, or, you know, what would happen in my own brain and body. Just, I felt more open, more alive. I felt like I was just, I was connecting to trees and sunsets, and I was, all the benefits of just being out, moving more the way we're made to, were very loud. They were loud in my body as I did that walk. And so as my art and creative work evolved, it's constantly creating around, how can we connect more to the benefits of something that we're made to be doing more often? And how are so many people feeling so unsafe and disregarded in their transportation experience, who have no choice but to be moving this way?
Welcome to The Outdoor Citizen. I'm Maddie Alborn. Welcome to part four of our series, Bicycling in the San Luis Valley. This episode is titled Surveying the Landscape. We didn't know what kind of responses we'd receive when we sent out our Bicycling in the San Luis Valley survey. We wanted to throw it in the wind and see where it went. 129 people took the time to respond and let us know how they feel and how they ride. For most, it's a mountain bike on the trails or a road bike on a county crossing. For others, it's commuting through town. Everyone, though, showed us that they move through Alamosa and the San Luis Valley along trails and roads in their own way. We wanted to use this data to get a better sense of what cycling and pedestrian access looks like in the San Luis Valley. And with just 129 surveys, we now have a much better understanding and a better sense of direction. In the first part of June, we'll have a full story on the data and the kinds of trends we saw within. There is a lot of room for improvement in the San Luis Valley and certainly in Alamosa. A bulk of the feedback we received was directed at Main Street and the problems it creates for cyclists and pedestrians. Most riders just want more connectivity and safety. What else came up a lot was the need for more protected bicycle infrastructure. One of the things we hear is that the shoulders of highways and roads are good for cyclists. They do provide room, but highway shoulders are meant for cars to get out of the way. At high speeds, this means nothing but danger for cyclists and pedestrians. Part of safe bicycling infrastructure isn't the incorporation of bikes on roadways. It's the creation of protected pedestrian pathways. Protected bike lanes are vital to this conversation. For too long, we've just ridden alongside the cars. As more and more cars are on the roads, the more we find we need to create some serious separation.
More and more, CDOT is shifting to be truly a multimodal transportation agency. You know, a long time ago, and to some extent still now, I mean, CDOT, our main goal is really to take care of the highways, the state highways, the interstates. But there's also so much more than just highways and interstates and, you know, vehicular traffic. You know, we're really focusing on how we can have a multimodal transportation system that works for everyone. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of folks who either don't drive or can't drive. You know, when you add up all of the people who are too young to drive or too old and don't feel comfortable driving anymore, people who have disabilities that prevent them from driving, or people who aren't able to afford the cost of a car and maintenance and gas and insurance. You know, over a third of our population either does not drive, cannot drive, or doesn't want to drive. And we need a transportation system that serves everyone and not just the people who have the ability and the means to own and operate a car.
Here's a little bit of feedback we'd like to share from one of our most important questions. Do you have any suggestions on how to make Alamosa and the San Luis Valley friendlier to cyclists or improvements you would like to see? Dedicated trails for bikes and pedestrians that run through town for commuting. The only way I feel safe for motorists is to have a trail that doesn't allow cars, or if there is some form of barrier to prevent cars from entering the trail. Fix Main Street. It's not friendly to cars, pedestrians, or bikes. It's crowded with the odd outdoor seating that mostly goes unused. People step out into traffic all the time. It's dangerous and reckless of the city. Main Street is terrible for bikes. Side streets are great. Goat Heads have been terrible for tires, especially riding near the river. I would ride a bike, but crossing Highway 160 from south of Alamosa to the north of Alamosa is super unsafe. Better connectivity between trail systems, better signage. This has been an issue for as long as I've been in the valley. It doesn't need to be fancy, just simple and sustainable. In our upcoming story that highlights the overall survey, we'll share more insights and responses. We'll also have data visualizations that will help make sense of the survey. It's given us here at Alamosa Citizen a good baseline to start asking more questions, advocating in more meaningful ways, and telling more stories of how people get around.
This is about real people who are like not being seen in specific to this cause, but you can cut and paste it into a lot of different issues and themes, but who are not being seen as, like, their transportation experience is not being seen as legitimate in budgets, in planning, in engineering, and but you can, you know, that applies to a lot of other areas. And so if we're going to really go into the tension of how many people in our community can't drive a car and why can't they drive a car? Financial reasons, legal reasons, medical reasons, ability reasons, age, stress, anxiety, cost, all the stuff. Like, if we're going to really go it, like, so it almost requires a much more humble, open, spacious, flexible, listening stance. How are we moving with, like, trying our best to, like, to move with people and listen to people who are out here, you know, just trying to survive every day. And so I think one of the things, like, that I encourage, if people are primarily drivers, you know, instead of driving every single, like, and if you're curious about just being more open and connected and available to these things, is, you know, start driving and parking outside of town and walking in and through town to do all your things, or start replacing full or partial car trips so that you're just experiencing what other people experience.
Alamosa and the San Luis Valley are very active communities. There are miles of trails, thousands of acres of open space, and a lot of room to get outside. Part of our goal in this series was to get a grasp on how many people ride bikes around here. With the amount of survey responses we received, it just scratches the surface of how many there actually are. We are certain that many people don't have the means to take a survey. There are more important issues at hand for many of the valley's unhoused folks who ride bikes or utilize pedestrian pathways. We are certain that many people don't see the importance of a survey and choose not to take it, but continue to ride their bikes anyway. There's no doubt many people didn't even know we were conducting a survey in the first place. Yet, with what we know now, we can shift the conversation to include these people into the fold.
People want other transportation options. No one wants to be stuck in traffic or stuck in their car all the time. You know, walking and biking is not only healthy, but it's fun and it's good for the environment. And it allows you to really see the world from a very different perspective than you do from behind the windshield of your car.
We'll be discussing later in the show where we go forward from here. How do we better understand the cycling community? How do we better understand the community who rides for necessity? What about the people who use other means of getting around, like skateboards, scooters, or wheelchairs? Cycling infrastructure is also pedestrian infrastructure.
Things that do feel like tangible change in this work have only really come through trust with residents or people that I've just gotten to know over the course of months or years, and we co-create, and that's really important, the co-creation of a project or a campaign together. So I do think about people who are experiencing homelessness or people who are just in different stages of transition, like how many of us are kind of just as a, not just the nonprofits, but how many of us just across the board, if we care about these issues, how many people are we trying to get to know who are really in the throes of these things? And how is that informing our work and our accountability to that work?
There's lots of work to be done, and there are many folks making sure it gets to a place where it can start to happen. For now, we hope you've enjoyed the series on bicycling in the San Luis Valley. We hope you learned something about the cycling culture of the Valley and hope you took something meaningful away. As always, if there's something you'd like to share with us, our email, info@alamosacitizen.com, is always open. We'll continue this conversation after a quick sponsor break when our host, Marty Jones, talks with Alamosa Bicycle Coalition Executive Director Grantley Showalter and SLV Go's Active Transportation Coordinator Annie Altwerg. I'm Maddie Alborn, saying thanks for tuning in. See you on the trails.
Pop into the Monte Vista Co-op Farm Store and take advantage of the heroic deals during our Memorial Day sale, May 15th through 25th. Patriotic prices on American flags, outdoor gear, lawn and garden supplies, lawn care products, tools, and much more. The Monte Vista Co-op Farm Store is loyal and dedicated to providing our community with products you need and service you can trust during the Monte Vista Co-op Farm Store Memorial Day sale, May 15th through 25th. Monte Vista Co-op, community committed, agriculturally driven.
It's our annual Habitat for Humanity fundraiser. It's a bike ride in the San Luis Valley. And this year we're doing a 35-mile loop and a metric century, which is 65 miles. Nice. We're going to be pedaling beneath the beautiful blue skies on Saturday, June 29th. And then there will be rest stops and support vehicles. So if you're not, you don't have to be a professional rider. Anybody who has a bike can come out and ride. There's snacks and refreshments every 20, 25 miles and drivers to help folks. And you can register for the ride on our website, slvhabitat.org. It's a fundraiser to help Habitat for Humanity build houses, build Trudy's house. If you are not a bike rider, feel free to sponsor the ride. Also on that website, we have a fundraising page. We're hoping the ride will raise $5,000 to help build Trudy's house. So if you're not interested in biking, feel free to donate to the ride.
Hence, bike to build.
Yes, we're going to bike to build a home. And we're having a discount. There's an early bird discount if you register before June 1st. There's a $25 discount on the 35-mile and the 70 and the 65-mile rides. We're going to start at the Alamosa Senior Citizen Center in Cole Park, a great place to park and begin a ride. And then we're going to go up North River Road, and then we come down the county line, and then the 35-mile riders will come in on the co-op road back to the Senior Citizen Center, and the metric century riders will continue down, and we'll start have a rest stop at the Carmel Fire Station and one at the Sanford Park, and then we'll come back up through the back roads back to the Senior Citizen Center.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Outdoor Citizen. Marty Jones here, and like to welcome our guests, Grantley Showalter and Annie Altwerg. Thanks for coming in today, folks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate being here.
Today, we're going to be talking about some of the results of our Bicycling in the San Luis Valley survey, as well as discussing what comes next, not just for us at the Outdoor Citizen, but with cycling and mobility in Alamosa's future. Our survey gave us good insight, but the work will be ongoing. It will be an uphill battle to some degree, But luckily, we have some people with us today who work uphill so the rest of us can enjoy the downhill ride. Grantley and Annie, how many people realistically do you think ride their bicycles on a daily basis in Alamosa? And if you can extrapolate into the San Luis Valley as well.
Well, I think it's hard to put a number on it, Marty. You know, it's one of those things I think are often underestimated as well. And that's something that we're looking to do. Now, if I had to put, let's say, a number on it, I would say on a daily basis, probably over 100 riders. That's something we are looking at. What kind of traffic counters could we use to really finalize that data? And often, Strava, for example, which is a mobile app that usually is used for fitness, tracks routes that people often use in a heat map style. But you need a cell phone in order for the data to be captured. You don't need to download the app per se, but have a cell phone while you're traveling. And so we know that not everyone who does travel has a cell phone on them, and so it often undercounts that as well. But the city of Alamosa, for example, on their new pedestrian bridge project that will cross the Rio Grande River, will have a traffic counter on that. So we're branching into this territory as of now.
Oh, very good. Grantley?
Yeah, I think Annie's probably got a pretty good guess there. I would say I interact with people constantly when I'm on my bike, seeing people ride around town, especially this time of year. It's getting nicer. It's getting warmer. More people are out and about on bikes. Even through the winter, though, we see a lot of people riding bikes. A lot of people who need to ride a bike for transportation are consistent throughout the year or who really care about it. So, yeah, I'm excited to get more, like Annie said, more data that we're working on and see kind of where this goes.
I know that when I'm out of town riding, I see fewer riders than I do in town. But it's not unusual, even on a weekday, for me to see at least one or two other riders if I'm going, especially up North River Road. Do you guys encounter bicyclists around the valley as well?
You know, there's obviously all the recreational mountain biking and gravel riding destinations that we have here. So there's a lot of people. I feel like every time I go, there's at least one or two other groups that are also using the trails. And then, yeah, I commute on my bike, so I see other people commuting as well. And, it seems like it's just increasing.
Yeah, you know, I think on the Strava map, the heat map I mentioned earlier, we are seeing riders where there is infrastructure. So for Ross Avenue, for example, when there's that longer stretch of a bike lane, constantly in Cole Park and our trails around the city, it's an easier way for recreation, but also to get, you know, from more of northern Alamosa into Main Street and downtown.
So we had 129 surveys that were received. Is there a better way, a more effective way for us to be able to talk to more cyclists than just doing surveys?
I'll jump in here. I work with the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition. We're a bicycle nonprofit, and we do a lot of work with folks, especially folks who use a bike for their main source of transportation. So I think that there's a really exciting partnership there that we can connect with more folks who kind of really need their bike for transportation. So I think that's one avenue. I think, you know, finding ways to be at community events where there are there's a cycling element to it would be another possible solution to that that issue.
I couldn't agree more. I love the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition and the community space to be able to work on your bike, but also to ride with other people.
So this is the last of our series on bicycling, at least for the time being. And let's reflect on this series. What do you think we could do differently? What could be better? What did we do right?
Well, I think this was an amazing process. And, you know, hearing that you had 129 respondents is awesome. And I think it's a great number to start with. And having these conversations with CDOT and Jonathan Stalls and Alamosa Bicycle Coalition, I think the involvement that you heard, as well as the recreational sides and the BLM and the Rattlers, you know, were all great people to interview and include in this conversation. One thing that I think I would look for in the future is to continue this interview type. It doesn't have to be formal by any means, but talking to people as they're on their bike, hearing their reasons, but also reaching the population of folks who are somewhat interested in riding, but hearing their perspectives of why they don't a little bit more.
I'll agree with that. And I'm, you know, really grateful to the Citizen for starting this conversation. I'm like excited to see this public discourse happening around bikes. I think this is one way to really spur or ignite that kind of momentum that we need to start to make some changes, start to make some improvements to the bike infrastructure and to really, you know, getting to know what it's like to be a cyclist. Yeah, I think kind of like I was saying earlier, just like engaging with more folks who need their bike for transportation. You know, if they don't have a car or can't drive for whatever reason, you get a different perspective from someone who's, you know, has to bike rain or shine, you know, whatever the weather looks like, and what that means, you know, what a bike means to that type of person can be a really good perspective to have as well. So, yeah, I think it's a good start, and there's room, you know, to keep growing, to keep expanding on it.
Excellent. Yeah, I agree completely. I know I have the luxury of being more of a recreational rider. When I was working, I did ride my bike to work, but I didn't have to because I lived close enough. I could walk if I needed to. My perspective on cycling is probably different from somebody who lives on the far south end of town and has to go to work and has no real alternative other than riding a bicycle. And it may not be the best bicycle in the world, but one that will function.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and being able to maintain your bike, being able to keep it running, for some people is, yeah, a matter of getting to work or getting to your appointments or getting to the grocery store versus not. And so, yeah, that can be a really interesting and enlightening perspective as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for us to try to touch bases with more of those folks and get their perspective as well. Speaking of the survey, of the 129 survey responses we received, 66 said they feel generally safe on the roads, while 63 said that they don't. That's nearly a 50-50 split. So what can we take away from that?
I think it's a good starting point to start to talk about safety in terms of cycling. But yeah, safety is pretty relative. You know, what feels safe to one person might be different for another person. And also, you know, what that person's conditioned to or what they've experienced leading up to the answering this question will affect their answer. A lot of people, I feel like a lot of people, especially folks who haven't experienced better bike infrastructure, are kind of operating from a relative, you know, relative to, you know, worse circumstances. Yeah, it's I feel safe. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, there's the other side of it where, you know, we can do better. There's better options out there. There's improvements we can make. And we can feel a lot safer as well. So, yeah, it's kind of tough, you know, to interpret that data, but I think there's good information there that we can use to start, you know, hey, half the people don't feel safe, and, you know, we want to make sure people do feel safe. We want to make sure the people who didn't take the survey, who aren't, you know, aren't biking because maybe they don't feel safe. I mean, I think that's a relevant factor for a lot of people, have the chance to bike and feel safe and kind of overcome that hurdle.
I would also add on to that, you know, that the people who responded to the survey are probably not all taking the same cycling route too. And so one street could feel safe and, you know, relatively safe. However, if you're trying to get to the grocery store or a different path, you know, that experience is going to look a lot different. And so just recognizing, you know, where people are cycling right now and, you know, if they have the option to use another mode of transportation too.
Right. And as Maddie mentioned earlier in this episode, some of the infrastructure that we have right now, especially regarding shoulders and people riding on the shoulders, that's also a place for cars to pull off if they're having difficulty. And if they don't see a cyclist riding that shoulder, that could be a real serious matter. So there's some reasons to feel less safe when we're out riding. It can be in town, it can be outside of town as well. So what are the next steps as we look forward? How can we improve the pedestrian and cyclist infrastructure in Alamosa and the rest of the San Luis Valley?
So a couple weeks ago, this Alamosa Bicycle Working Group met with Heather Sanchez, the city manager for the city of Alamosa, and told her what we were up to and our plans, and she recommended that the working group provide the city of Alamosa staff an updated priority map looking at how we can improve the infrastructure within the city. And so we're breaking that down into three tiers. The first is repainting the bike lanes that have faded and just giving them a touch up so all road users know that that's a path for cyclists. And then also providing them with possible street designs for right-of-ways that don't currently need to be adjusted. So the street that's there doesn't have to be totally redone, but could adjust the infrastructure on it to better suit all road users. And then the third one is kind of that dream list, if we could totally redo the street again, what would it look like? And we'd have to change the street width and things like that. We're also looking at intersections and making those safer with bulb outs and just ways to mitigate the time a person has to walk or bike or roll across that street, that intersection.
Yeah. And I'll add a couple things too. The bike working group is excited to be installing a couple more repair stations. Alamosa Bicycle Coalition, along with the partners at the working group, apply for some funding to install some more of these, just generally, more infrastructure for cyclists. If you get a flat tire or something, there's more pumps just generally around town that you can pump your tire up to get home. And then, I think the more we see these improvements, the more cyclists there will be, and the more cyclists that are on the road, the safer it is for all the other cyclists. So it's just kind of a matter of getting the ball rolling. I think that's happening, which is exciting. And as we, make these street improvements, bike repair stations, better bike racks, those kinds of things, we're going to see more people on bikes. It's going to be safer for everybody.
I'd like to point out that what you just last mentioned, bike racks and so on, one of the deterrents, quite honestly, for somebody who's riding around town is they get someplace, they want to store their bike so they can go into a business or go to the park or whatever. If there's no secure place to lock your bike, you might not have a bike when you come back. So that's an important part of the infrastructure and important for getting people to want to ride again. So how do we work through bureaucracy to start to change things?
So I think, as we mentioned earlier, there are things we can do to continue working with our local governments, our elected officials, and our staff. In addition to that, we can work with the Colorado Department of Transportation. As Tony Katie said two episodes ago, the transportation planning regional meetings occur on a quarterly basis for the San Luis Valley TPR.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that question is just a shout out to the city folks that we've been working with as a part of the Bikeability Working Group. Really appreciate Heather Sanchez prioritizing this work and the time from Beata and Sean, who work for the city, that they've spent, with the group, giving their input, pushing this forward. So really happy that the city's kind of really getting on board and excited to see kind of what that momentum will carry us through.
So maybe the bureaucracy at our level, anyway, is not as difficult as at the national level. That's good. So Annie, let's broaden the focus beyond bicycles. What does having conversations like this do for other types of mobility access?
As Grantley mentioned before, just bringing this conversation to the table and to our community members, I think is really important. I think transit is a great opportunity. And, at one point in our life, we all might come to a position where we might not have access to a vehicle, whether it's just for a day because your car is in the shop or, because your friend's using it. We all might be in that position. You don't really think about it until you are. I think it provides opportunities to think about even other types of mobility, skateboarding, rollerblading, fun things to do in the park or just to get around town and do socially. I think it's important, and I think often people with disabilities are often left out of the conversation of navigating roads, whether with, physical or mental, eyesight, invisible or visible disabilities as well. I live in the city of Monta Vista, And constantly I see the school children, you know, using the skate park. And I love to see that they're skating in it, they're biking in it, they're all types of things. But often they have to get there, you know, by that mode. And so it can also be really dangerous. So thinking about the youth as well.
Grantley, after the first community traffic study, which we reported on during the previous podcast, what did we learn? And what do you hope we learn from future studies? And when will the next study be?
Yeah, well, first of all, we had a really good time. We had a good turnout, people just joining in for fun. We were comparing times of commute times from a car, bicycle, and e-bikes. We learned that there's not too much difference. Obviously, in Alamosa, our traffic isn't terrible here compared to some cities where the bikes are significantly faster than cars. The car here was faster than the other two forms of transportation, but not by that much. Our study was started at the public library and ended at behavioral health group. I think it was only a couple minutes different on average to get there on a bike, e-bike being a little bit faster than that as well. We learned, you know, you can get around Alamosa really easily on a bike, even kind of far out of town or on the edge of town. Doesn't take too long on a bike, so you're not saving that much when you drive your car. We have another one coming up for June. It's going to be June 14. We're meeting at Boyd Park at 8 a.m. Course, or the route, is going to be Boyd Park to Safeway to kind of measure, you know, how long does it take to get from a fairly central location on the south side to the closest grocery store. To see, yeah, how long is it? Does it actually take to get there? What does that ride feel like? You know, safety wise, how do people feel? People can choose their own route. Just the start and end point has to be the same. And then, yeah, kind of keep promoting that, keep kind of the momentum going to continue gathering the data about commute times on a bike compared to in a car. So far, it's showing that it's, you know, not that much different, not too much longer on a bike.
One final question for both of you. If we continue to advocate for cyclists, pedestrians, and overall mobility access, what do you think Alamosa will look like in 10 years?
My hope is that people will feel like they have a real choice in transportation modes in the next 10 years, regardless of socioeconomic status or whether you have a vehicle or not, that there are multiple ways to get around safely and have, you know, it be efficient to get from point A to point B. And just in general, there's a bit of an attitude shift of like seeing the road for more than just a vehicle user.
I agree. I think there's some really exciting projects that are in the works for pedestrians and cyclists. I see a future in 10 years where everyone living in Alamosa has equal access or equitable access to transportation, not focused on cars being the only one or the main one. Instead, you know, people on bikes, people walking, people in other forms, including, you know, mobility devices like wheelchairs, can get around Alamosa. You know, we're a flat town. Doesn't take a lot of energy to get from point A to point B if we have the right infrastructure built around it. And so, yeah, I think in 10 years, I see a really exciting future for Alamosa where, yeah, everyone has options and everyone is able to get where they need to go.
Yeah, maybe we can even get to the point where we're, for a small city, rated highly in the Bicycling Magazine's annual Great Places to Bicycle, cities that are most bikeable. That would be super.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me, there's the League of American Bicyclists is a national organization. 10 years, I'd love to see Alamosa ranking in the top level that they offer for bike-friendly cities. I think it's achievable, and I'd love to see that for us.
It'll complement, you know, the public land that's also around us and the beautiful scenery, too.
Well, thank you so much. I've been talking with Annie Altwerg from SLV Great Outdoors and Grantley Showalter from the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition. Thanks to you both for coming in and helping us to wrap up this podcast series on bicycling.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
The pedestrian crashes and fatalities, you know, reached an all-time high last year. And, you know, they've been increasing for well over a decade at this point. So safety concerns are very real. And I think to address those safety concerns, you know, communities really need to be proactive about building better, safer bicycle infrastructure. You know, because people really do want to bike, and when they are given safe places to do so, they do it. You know, there's many studies that show when people build protected bike lanes, bicycling increases can sometimes double or triple. So when people are given safe places to ride, they get out there and ride.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Join us next time when we shift our focus from the streets to the streams. We'll have a couple of local anglers on to talk about what they're catching, where they're wading, and what the summer looks like for valley anglers. Until then, we'll see you outside. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by SLV Go and is produced by Owen Woods. Thanks to Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing, and to Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the birds.
Hey everybody, we're up here on Kachara Pass again. We're fishing this little blue lake and apparently Bear Lake. We're gonna give it a try. We'll kind of see what happens. We'll let you know.
Become an Outdoor Citizen field correspondent. Send a video and an audio file about your adventures across the valley to info@alamosacitizen.com.